Okay, I'm going to start us off with a prayer here, so if we can quiet down and we could ask the Lord to help us with our worship time. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. You're a good God, and you're merciful, Lord, that you would have anything to do with man at all, Lord. We're just a bunch of sinners down here, and we're not worthy of anything from you, but you're a kind and compassionate God, and you show us mercy, and we're grateful for that. And I thank you for the Bible class, Lord, that Michael gave about parents and children and children's duties and parents' duties, Lord, and that we know that your word is correct and that we need to follow your word as parents and as children, Lord. You give us instructions in your Bible. And Lord, these songs that we sing are always songs that are from your Bible too, Lord. People assemble these words together and make songs out of things and truths out of your word. So I pray that we pay attention to these songs and sing them, focusing on the words and trying to worship you and thank you, Lord. So help us now as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this first song is called Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated. And so it's saying, take my life, God, and let it be consecrated to you. Consecrated means, set apart, devoted, dedicated. So the songwriter is saying, God, take my life and devote it to you. I want to devote my life to you. Well, if you look at the things in this song, it's about a lot of different things in our lives. For example, the top couple lines there says, take my moments. That would be our time. So we're saying, God, take my time and I want to use my time for you. Take my feet and my hands. That means I can't go where I want to go and maybe do the things I want to do. I got to do what God wants me to do. I got to go where God wants me to go and use my hands to glorify God. Or take my lips, right? That's a big one. That means we can't just say whatever we want to say. And I'm not talking about cuss words. Of course, we're not supposed to say cuss words. But I'm talking about we're supposed to use our lips to love our enemies and say good things about them, right? And talk about things that are God-centered. Take our voice. So when you sing songs, God, take my voice. I want to only sing songs to you. I don't want to sing worldly songs. Take my silver and gold. That's money, right? Take my money and I want to use my money to glorify you. And the last line there says, take my will. That's everything. That means all your desires. Whatever you desire, whatever your will is, that you want to focus it to the Lord and use it for Him. Now, see, if we're going to do these things, this is a big deal. You're basically saying, I want to consecrate my whole life to you, God. You know what that takes? That means that we have to take every second, every thought, every action that we take, every second of the day has to be focused on God. That's a hard thing to do, but He's worth it. We want to ask God to help us consecrate ourselves to Him and devote to Him because He is worth consecrating our lives to.
Take my moments and my days.
In this next song, in the second paragraph, the last line, the last couple lines, it says, "And from my stricken heart with tears, two wonders I confess, the wonder of redeeming love and my own unworthiness." And when I was thinking about the song, it reminded me of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18. I just want to read a couple verses here. It says this, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector." Now, a Pharisee was a church guy, right? A religious church guy. And a tax collector wasn't, they were not good guys, right? Sinners, for sure. He said, so the Pharisee and the tax collector, they go up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood up by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get." Just oozing with pride and goodness, right? But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you the truth," this is what Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this man," the tax collector, "rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted." So see, the Pharisee thought he was really good. "I do this and I do that, and I don't do this and I don't do that." He was just all about himself and full of pride. But the tax collector recognized he was a sinner. And he asked God, "God, have mercy on me. I'm just a sinner." So see, do you look at yourself like you're a Pharisee type? Like, "Well, I'm worthy of all God's blessings." See, it says in my own unworthiness in the song. Or do you look at yourself like you're not worthy of God's mercy? See, we're not really worthy of God's mercy. We're not. So we want to examine our hearts. If you're here today and you think, "Well, I'm pretty good." Well, examine yourself, because you know what? You're a sinner just like the guy next to you. Whoever is around you, you're a sinner just like them, right? Nobody deserves the mercy of God. And God doesn't like a proud person. He likes a humble person. So let's examine ourselves and make sure that we're looking to the cross and being humble before Jesus.
Oh,
So in this song, on the second to the last line, it says, I'm so glad I've learned to trust Him, talking about Jesus. And I'm not talking about trusting Him in getting to heaven. Yes, if you're a Christian, you have to trust in the Lord to get to heaven. That's how you get to heaven, by trusting Him. But I'm talking about in everyday life, trusting the Lord in everyday life. And I have a little bit of a testimony here. When me and my wife first got saved, we decided that we didn't want to have our kids in the public school. We thought it's not good to have them in a public school, so we wanted to put them in a private school, a Christian private school. Well, it's kind of expensive to do that. And so it was a little bit hard on us. And what I would do, because I wasn't trusting the Lord completely, is I would take my money that I made at my job, and we would tithe it. And then the money that my wife made at her job, we pay for the Christian school, right? And there'd be a little bit left over. But I wasn't tithing it. I was kind of making it up in my mind. Well, I'm kind of using it for the kind of a Christian thing here. I'm putting my kids in a private school, so that's good. And I wasn't tithing that money. So I wasn't trusting the Lord completely. See, I was trusting in myself, like, well, if I give up more of my money, I'm not going to have enough to pay the bills and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't trusting the Lord completely. And you know, I heard a sermon and I was really convicted, like, what am I doing? I'm holding on to this little bit of money here. I'm not tithing it. I'm not giving it to the Lord's work. I really got convicted. So we started tithing that money too. And I'm not saying it to toot my horn, but I'm just saying that, like, you know what? I still got clothes on my back. I got a roof over my head. I have a house and I haven't missed a meal. God took care of me. God is taking care of me. I wasn't trusting in Him. And see, the thing is it's sometimes it's easy to want to just trust ourselves and not trust the Lord, but it's foolish, because here's why. The Lord controls everything, right? So if I put my trust in Him, I don't have anything to worry about. He's in control. I'm in control of nothing. My duty is just to obey the Lord and trust Him. So we want to make sure we're trusting the Lord in everything. Okay, the name of this song is Redeemed, which in the Bible, well, redeemed means like you've been purchased by God. God bought you, okay? And so in the chorus, the bottom line, it says, His child and forever I am. So what the Bible says is that when God purchases you, when He buys you, it's a done deal forever. Nothing will ever take you away from God, ever. There's even a couple verses that talk about it. I'm going to read them real quick. One is Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. Paul says this, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in our Lord Christ Jesus." That sounds pretty convincing, right? Even Jesus said this, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." That means go to hell. Never. "No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my hand." That's big, right? That means when God buys you, it's a done deal. Never going to change. But then I started thinking, well, you know, I've seen people before that look like a Christian. They act like a Christian. I'm convinced they're a Christian for years sometimes. And then all of a sudden they're gone. And they're just back to living like the world again. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. It promises that they were never going to be lost again. Well, you know what that means? When somebody looks like a Christian for a long time and then they just go back to their old ways and they're never acting like a Christian again, it just means they weren't really bought in the first place. They weren't redeemed by God. It was phony, right? And you know what one of the problems is this. In the last paragraph of this line, see where it says, "The King, God, in whose law I delight." See, that's one of the things that happens. They start to not delight in God's law. They don't love God's law anymore. See, if we love God, we've been purchased by God, we're going to love His law. We're going to want to do what He says because we love Him, right? I'll do anything you want. God, you died for me. You're going to bring me to heaven one day. I'll do whatever you want, right? You delight in doing that for Him because you love what He loves and you want to obey Him, right? For an example, this is just a little bit of an example. Last week I told my wife, I said, you know what? I want to go bowling. I like to bowl. Okay, I'm a nerd, right? I like to bowl. But I like to bowl. My wife does not like to bowl. But you know what? She goes, okay, let's go bowling. And you know why she wanted to go bowling? Not because she likes it. Because I like it. She loves me. I'll go bowling with you. I love you. I'll go bowling with you. See, that's how it is. If we love God, you want me to love my neighbor? I'll love my neighbor. You want me to help the poor? I'll help the poor. Whatever He loves, we love, right? That we delight in His law. So listen, if you're a Christian and you're finding yourself not delighting in God's law, repent. You're messed up, right? Your heart's not right. Go to Him and repent. Ask Him to forgive you for not delighting in His law. And if you're here today and you don't give a rip about God's law and you're not a Christian, repent. It's the same solution. Repent. Look, love God's law because listen, when you die and you don't love God's law, you're going to be judged by His law. It doesn't matter. There's no way of getting out of it. You're going to be judged by God's law. So find out today, Lord, I'm messed up. I want to love Your laws. I want to delight in Your laws. Go to Him, repent, change your ways, go to Him, seek Him with the pure heart, and you know what? He'll have mercy on you, and you will delight in His law. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you redeem people, that you purchase people, Lord, and you call us your own. Lord, we are so grateful for that, Lord. And Lord, I confess, you know, that sometimes in my sinfulness, I might not delight in your law, Lord. And when I am acting like that or thinking like that, I am goofed up. And I need to repent, Lord. And I'm sure everybody struggles with that at times, Lord. It's in our sinful nature to not just love your law automatically, Lord. You have to create a change in us and give us a new heart so that we can love your law. So I thank you that you give us a new heart so that we can delight in your law. And I pray that you'd help us when we struggle, Lord, that we would repent. And I just pray, Lord, today, if there's somebody that doesn't know you, Lord, that you would just wake them up and show them, Lord, that there is delight in your law, Lord. And if we ask you for a new heart, we can delight in your law, Lord, and you'll save us from our sins, Lord. So we thank you that you're a merciful Savior, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. I pray now, Lord, that you would give Dorian the words that you want him to say to us, Lord. We're here because you are in control of everything. We're here because you want us here. You ordained it for us to be here, and you've ordained for us to hear something in this message. So I pray, Lord, that you give us ears to hear, a soft heart to learn. Lord, teach us. We need your help. In Jesus' name, amen.